Myra the Gaypaw is a little nervous. We are standing in the vestry studio in Tribeca at a gallery opening for Khao Thule, the Karen people of Burma. This photography exhibit by Christopher Dan Bergman is a benefit for Outer Voices, a documentary production group working with women activists in Southeast Asia. Myra is nervous because she has to give a presentation later about her people, the Karen people of Burma, who have been refugees in their own country for over 50 years. Myra herself has been an undocumented person since she arrived in New York after spending time in a refugee camp in Burma and working in Thailand.
You were transported to a secret, undisclosed location somewhere in the country, and we're hanging out with Dick Cheney. It's just you and Dick Cheney sitting there. What would you say to him?
I'm going to tell him, Mr. Cheney, can you please naturalize my status in this country so that I can become a U.S. citizen either today or tomorrow? And then as soon as I become a U.S. citizen, then I'll be able to go back to either Burma or Thailand and continue my mission working with my people.
Myra's mission is to continue to draw attention to the plight of the Karen, an ethnic group that has been uprooted by the Burmese military dictatorship known as the State Peace and Development Council, or SPDC. But it was this very mission that forced Myra to leave and seek political asylum in the United States.
Because I've been working in Thailand for quite a while, and eventually I was followed by some Burmese spy. And because working with the refugees, I did a lot of underground work, like helping out illegal refugee young people to be able to come and study in Thailand, in the cities. And by doing so, I have to do illegal work, which means that I bring them into the country illegally. So eventually, I was advised to leave the country.
Wow.
If not, I can be in trouble.
The Burmese junta has been on a mission as well, waging war on a civilian population in an effort to quell an ethnic insurgency that has been fighting the dictatorship since 1948. The Karen has been the largest of over 20 ethnic groups in Burma involved in this insurgency, and civilians are often caught in the middle, like Myra, who had to dress the wounds of fighters in her village while trying to attend school.
Honestly, I never think about becoming a nurse. I always think of becoming a teacher. But when it's come to the situation like that, I can't escape. I cannot escape. If I don't do it, there is no other person will do that. And there was only one nurse in that whole little camp, and they need my help. So I volunteered myself as a nurse aide, and I did whatever I have to. That's it. I mean, I was afraid of blood, but then when I was in the situation, I can overcome that. I dressed the wound. At the beginning, I can look at the wound, the blood, like when they step on landmine. You might be able to figure that out in your vision. It was really scary, but there is no point.
No choice.
There is no choice, and for me, to my opinion, there is no choice that I have to scare. The life of that person is more important than my fear.
Stephanie Geyer-Stevens is the executive producer of Outer Voices, a radio documentary production team that works to share the stories of women peace activists from traditional cultures of Southeast Asia and the Pacific Islands. She found out about the Karen people during a trip to support women activists in Thailand.
Yeah, well, actually, the photographs that you see on the wall started, this whole project started here in New York. I was working here in New York as an activist, organizer, kind of person involved with nonprofit work, and was invited to a conference of women organizers in Bangkok in Thailand in 1992. And there I met a Karen woman who introduced herself to me and said, she's about this tall, I need your help. She said, I'm Karen. And I said, I've never heard of Karen. You mean Korean? She said, no, I'm Karen. Nobody's ever heard of us. And we need your help because nobody has ever heard of us and we're dying by the numbers in Burma. And it's a very serious situation and it needs to be addressed immediately. And we need the help of the Western media to make sure that the situation is not ignored and that we're not ignored and that we don't all die off.
And so, Outer Voices began interviewing Karen women activists and refugees and working with the Karen Women's Organization, who are organizing a nonviolent resistance to the Burmese government. The result of this project is Khao Thule, an Outer Voices radio documentary, now being aired nationally. Jack Chance is the producer of Khao Thule. He says that the work going on now among activist groups in Burma and Thailand to help the Karen people has been tremendous.
It feels cool. I mean, it's great. You know, I have really good friends in these situations. They're doing amazing things. Like the amount of people that, I don't know if there's anyone in these photos that's doing it, but the amount of work that these people do just blows my mind. 6 or 7 full-time jobs. They're living outside the refugee camps, which means they're susceptible to be arrested, raped, killed, whatever. Their life's worth $12.50. That's a 500 baht bribe to a cop. My students had their office raided probably twice a month, including when I was there. It didn't matter that I was there. I couldn't protect them from that. It was like, you know, they come, everybody hides except the one person who can speak the best Thai, and he goes out front and offers the bribe and gets them away. Can't drive, can't be in any kind of transportation, but these people are working 20-hour days.
150,000 refugees are registered in the 9 camps strung along the Thai-Burma border, and some refugee estimates range up to 250,000 people. The exhibit at the Vestry Studio in New York includes photographs from one of the largest refugee camps, called Mai La. The black and white photographs feature people from the camps, capturing moments of connection as an old man with a white beard smiles, or a glimpse of worry on a mother's face as she carries her child across the street. There are pictures of young children making questioning eye contact with the camera as they play or just sit around. The expressions seem honest, unprovoked, and open. As Stephanie Geyer Stevens puts it, the photographs express a humanity of the Karen refugees that comes from the dignity of living as opposed to the pessimism of suffering.
They've survived in what you see on these pictures is refugee camps along the border of Thailand and Burma. And they have not just survived, they've really made a life for themselves. As someone was pointing out, the people don't look sad. They don't look like victims. They don't look depressed. Where's the tents? That's not what this is. They have built themselves houses. They've pulled themselves together and organized. They're sitting in the camps figuring out the strategy for their future government in their homeland in Burma. And that's what they're after.
Christopher Dan Bergman is the photographer who traveled to the Mai La camp to take pictures of the Karen.
I am today, which I started doing, was working with people mainly. And I love the interaction that you have with a person when you photograph them. You don't know what's going to happen. It's just an amazing kind of thing that goes on.
Rajiv Dahejia, a student from Columbia University, offered his impressions on how the Karen are portrayed in Christopher Dan Bergman's photographs.
I think it was very impressive to see the dignity that the refugees managed to maintain under entirely impoverished circumstances. They are clearly in some ways destitute if you measure them in one way, but in another way they manage to maintain their dignity by any means possible, by struggling to move forward and by whatever inner resources they have. You know, I think that Christopher Bergman he's managed to sort of eschew the obvious. You know, I'm sure that the way they live, you know, he could have shown their destitute housing, and it's not that he's ignoring that. You get that in the edges of the picture, but I think what's in the center of his pictures are the people. And I think that's appropriate, because I think we understand that we can understand that refugees are obviously under dire circumstances, and I don't think we would forget that, but what we might forget is their humanity. We might just make them into another number, another statistic of displaced people, and I think the photographs offer a good antidote. You get a feeling of being there, but you also get a sense of the individuals. You just get a spark from the people who are depicted.
Part of the dignity seen in the faces of the Karen people comes from their own political struggle. The Karen people have been fighting for autonomy in Burma for over 50 years. Finally, Myra begins her presentation.
Myra.
Hello, everyone. Please forgive me. I have to use my papers. Okay. Firstly, I'd like to thank you all so much for this opportunity. And as she Stephanie introduced me, my name is Myra Dagipour, and I'm originally from Meramo refugee camp from along the Thai-Burma border.
Slightly nervous, but ready to talk about her own experiences growing up Karen in Burma.
Almost all of us who arrive in the refugee camp, we have our own story about how and why we fled Burma. And all the stories contain details of traumatic experience as we are forcibly relocated from our own land. I am one of the victims myself, actually. I lost both of my parents, my oldest brother, his wife, by the military regime. My siblings and I, we became orphans when we were very young, when I was like 5 years old. And besides, many of my relatives were shot dead, and many of them were tortured before they were killed. As one of the victims, I can testify that the villages were burned down and people fled for their lives. Women were raped by the Burmese soldiers, and they told me their painful stories in tears. And people cried as they lost their loved ones who killed by the military troops. I saw villages were killed, and even I myself, as a nurse aide, I had to dress the wounds of the soldiers who came back from the front line, who fought against the military troops at the front line. There is too much tragedy, which eventually leads people to leave their home villages on Burma soil, cross the border, and come and live into the refugee camps. I lived in a small bamboo hut in a refugee camp between two mountains. Because of the restrictive rules of the camp, people have nothing to do. Because we cannot go anywhere. There is a place for us to live. There is no other thing to do. So older people, they'll sit together. They'll talk about their traumatic experience, how they've been through this, and how they get from their village, cross the border, come into Thailand, how much tragedy they have to go through.
Suddenly, Myra puts down her notes, overcome with emotion.
I'm sorry.
A strong reaction from the people in the room who were there to hear her story firsthand and to look at the faces of the Karen people in these photographs for themselves. Rajiv Dehejia.
You know, you can listen. I'd heard of the Karen before I came. You know, I listened to the news. I remember when they were first displaced. So I remember all of these things. So, you know, you hear about them on the radio and you just hear about, well, Karen refugees or Karen rebels, and you don't really have an image of what they are or what they stand for. And I think that these days especially, we need to personalize our news. You know, I mean, images are everywhere, facts are everywhere, but that direct connection, that feeling, which a good photographer can do, of sort of feeling that you can touch something that was there. So that was a wonderful thing.
For the Arts Magazine, I'm Amber Cortez.